Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. I'm Jim Galante. I'm sitting in for Dustin today. I'm with Greg Pickle, expert on everything Penn State football and recruiting. You ready to roll, Greg?
Let's do it.
All right. Here's what this segment is about. Instead of our listeners doing the Ask Greg, this is going to be Jim asking Greg.
All right.
I've got questions about the 2020 Penn State football team, and we're going to do this in a two-part series. Today, we're going to tackle the offense. Next time, we are going to tackle the defense. So we're going to start my questions for you about the Penn State offense going into the 2020 season, and I'm going to work my way inside out. Let's start with the offensive line. First off, they lose one starter, Steven Gonzalez, right?
Yep.
And that simply means we've got Miranda and Thorpe will now be the two starting guards. Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, at this moment in time, I think that it's going to be an interesting fight because I do think Caden Wallace is a guy who can play guard or tackle and maybe slide into that one of those roles. And
now, he's going to be a redshirt freshman this
year?
That's
right, yeah. And he's received a ton of praise from the coaches and from some other players, especially during the Cotton Bowl week. So, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if he finds a way to work his name into that mix as well. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, you look at what they have coming back and the fact that, you know, Gonzalez was even splitting time with one or both of those guys during last season. And I mean, it just makes too much sense. You know, Anthony Wiggin is the transfer in from Lackawanna, and he didn't play this year, but I would expect Penn State to try and, maybe see if they can get him on the field this fall, so perhaps he works his way in there. One thing we don't know, Des Holmes, Bryce Effner's another guy to keep an eye on in that battle. I would assume, though, that, you know, Miranda and Thorpe are the leaders in the clubhouse as we start spring practice here in about a month's time, but one thing that'll be interesting to watch is, you know, we saw Limegrover rotate 6, 7, 8 guys in on the offensive line at times. Does Phil Troutwine want to do that, or is he a believer in, I'm picking my best five, and we're going to battle with these guys, and we're not going to rotate, and we're not going to do this and that? And, you know, that's one question we didn't get answered that we'll want to learn more about sooner rather than later.
Well, is that also one of those things that is based on circumstances where they looked at it as if we've got three starting guards here,
right?
So we'll play them. And might that be where Caden Wallace ends up? He's that next guy up, no matter the guard position, kind of like what they did with Miranda last year.
Correct. Yep.
All right. Well, then let's go to the tackles. Now, we have two returning tackles. I think left tackle is pretty well nailed down with Rasheed Walker.
Yep.
My question, though, is on the right tackle, you have Will Fries as the returning starter, and I think you can bluntly say he had a bit of an up-and-down season. Might we see Des Holmes be the guy who challenges him, especially with a new coach there for the offensive line?
Yeah, and let's not forget, too, that Wallace, even though I mentioned him in the guard conversation, is probably a tackle at this level, though I think they do have some good flexibility with him. So don't rule him out for any of the open spots on this line, inside or outside. But I think you have to make Will Fries the first guy to get the rep during spring practice. I also think that it needs to be made very clear to him that we have a new offensive coordinator. We have a new offensive line coach. And we're not afraid to have a new starting right tackle if that's what it, you know, if that's what it takes, if that's what we think is best. Because, you know, James Franklin likes to talk about competing and position battles and that no job is safe no matter who it is or how long they've been in the program. And sometimes it doesn't feel like that always applies to every position group. So I think with Will Fries, while he did show some positive improvements in 2019, there were also some games where he was just beat up pretty badly. Now, the Ohio State game, I think you have to take with a little bit of a grain of salt because that was more on Penn. To me, that was more on Penn State not giving him any help at all, more often than not. And then, I mean, what what did they think was going to happen if they just kept doing that over and over and over again? Well, we saw what happened. Ohio State found its way to the backfield early and often. So, yeah, that's a close one to watch for sure, and there are a couple of guys who will be battling for that opportunity if it presents itself.
And we saw a little bit of the same in the Cotton Bowl, too, where he was up against a good rusher on defense, and they kind of let him hang out there to dry one-on-one. All right, let's move out to the most interesting position. It's February 10th. And we're going to talk about starting wide receivers. You got to assume Jahan Dotson, maybe he comes in and takes over the KJ Hamler role in the slot. Well, that's one starting wide receiver, Greg.
Right.
It's February 10th, like I said. Who are our other two starters, and how are they going to line up?
Man, you know, you're going to lean on experience, I think, which means Daniel George probably gets the first call when spring practice starts. But this is a position group that you know, even for spring practice, it's going to be in a little bit of a tight spot. You'll have John Dunmore and TJ Jones fighting for opportunities at that point. You have,
and they were two, they'll be redshirt freshmen.
Yep. And you have, you know, two true freshmen on campus already that enrolled in January, and Keandre Lambert and Jaden Dotton. But keep in mind, Weston Carr, a guy that transferred in from the Division II level, he's now gone. When you have spring practice, Matt Kippenhammer won't be there because he's playing baseball, so he won't be there for spring drills, which I think is going to ultimately have a pretty big impact on his ability to find a better spot on the depth chart in 2019. But yeah, I mean, they are short on bodies with any proven experience at this point. And maybe that's a good thing, maybe it's not. You know, Cam Sullivan Brown's still around. But to me, if Daniel George doesn't step up and take a bigger role in this offense, it'll be a shock. It really will be. So he's the one guy I think I'm most interested in watching beyond the two true freshmen at this point.
Well, you also have with Jahan Dotson is not a big receiver.
Right.
So you want to find, I would think they would want to find that large receiver. Justin Shorter obviously didn't become that guy. This also leads to the question, and James Franklin in his press conference, and you referenced it, Greg, when he called out the wide receiver position. I think he also called out the quarterback a little bit in not getting the ball to the wide receivers.
Yeah.
So I would think that's got to be part of this conversation too.
I would think so. I mean, to me, that there tended to be more issues with receivers production and not catchable passes and not being, you know, stop for a second and think how many times you saw two Penn State receivers, whether it was a tight end and a receiver or two receivers, how many times were those guys in the same place at the same time or close enough?
It was KJ Hamler.
Yeah, right. And I don't know if that was his fault or if that was somebody else's fault, but that's the kind of stuff you have to get cleaned up, especially in this offense, Jim, where Kurt Schrock, if you watch what Minnesota does, they're not fancy. They don't do anything that you sit there and say, wow, you know, Kurt Schrock is the smartest X and O guy in the room. I can't believe he came up with that. It's not really, the offense isn't really about that. It's about executing it to near perfection and being precise with the routes and when the ball gets there and so on and so forth. Because when that happens, the defense tends to be in too much conflict. Somebody's always open. We saw that a lot in the Minnesota-Penn State game. And if you watched any of the bowl game that Minnesota played against Auburn, it was a lot of the same stuff. So, you know, that's the kind of thing that can't take place in this offense. Or otherwise, it's just not going to work, no matter how much focus and energy Kirk Sciarca puts into trying to get it to be productive.
Well, and to that point, and I don't want to oversimplify, but it seemed in the Minnesota game there was a series of a couple plays. They were running a slant. Then they kind of faked that, went outside, got a completion. The Penn State defender was falling over because he was overreacting to the slant. So once they did the opposite thing,
right,
what'd they do on the next play? They went back to the slant, and that correct, was wide open. Yep. It was as if he was seeing what was going on with the defense and coaching to that and scheming to it, which was great to see. All right, a couple more questions. Essentially, I think the answer at wide receiver is we have no clue right now. Who's going
to
step up?
It's really difficult, I think, to try and put your finger on which, because the guys that return with experience, so I think you can fairly say that you've seen enough good things from Jahan Dotson to think that he could be a leader in 2020. But have you seen it from Daniel George? No. Cam Sullivan Brown? No. Matt Kippenhammer? Not consistently enough, so no. I mean, and now you just have to wonder, these younger guys that are going to get a shot, there's going to be four of them in spring practice, and then another group of them will come in May or June to start summer ball and then summer camp. But you just have to wonder if it's just not the perfect opportunity for somebody like a Keandre Lambert or a Parker Washington or a John Dunmore. One of those guys, or maybe a couple of them, to step up and really take a big opportunity and a big portion of the snaps. And we'll see if, you know, Taylor Stubblefield can maybe work with some of these veteran guys and get them in a more productive place. But right now, it's just been tough.
I think it has to be looked at. Dotson probably has a position. After that, guys, it's wide open. There's a new coaching staff, new coordinator, new position coach. It's wide open. Somebody step up, which is all the more reason why it's a bit surprising Mac Hippenhammer's not doing himself any favors by not being there for spring ball. All right, let's take a look at the running backs. Last year, they somehow managed to rotate four running backs.
Right.
Ricky Slade out of the picture now, presumably. It's got to be easier with three bodies back there than four.
Right. And, I mean, the question I have at this point is, you know, again, we've talked about it, but Noah Kane and Journey Brown likely to get the first run at being the starters in 2020. But what do they do with Devin Ford? How much time does he get? And what about, you know, you look at Keziah Holmes and Kevon Lee, the two true freshmen that are coming in. What opportunities, if any, will they earn throughout the course of the 2020 season? So, yeah, it's probably easier that you can delete one portion of that backfield and one member of the group that is not going to be fighting for carries any longer, but it's still not going to be easy for Jaylon Sider to kind of piece all of this together with Kirk Shirok and the rest of the offensive staff, because guys can say whatever they want about being happy when teammates succeed and stuff like that, but I have to think it's very difficult to go from being a very high-level recruit, which is what all these guys are, to maybe something more of a role player at the college level. So they have a lot to figure out here to try and keep all those guys happy.
Definitely they do, but again, a little bit easier with three than with four.
Right.
And the other part to it, running back is a position attrition can hit very quickly.
Right, and you can go from feeling like you're stacked and loaded and good to go to the exact opposite of that.
Right, we saw it last year. Noah Kane was out for several games, and it's easy to get yourself nicked up at running back. So we have time for my one last question, and that's at tight end. Got an all-world tight end there starting. Last year, the two tight end set with Bowers in worked very well. Do they have a second tight end that they could use?
I am very intrigued to watch what Brenton Strange does during the 15 practices that end with the blue-white game. Jim, I thought we saw some good things from him last year and the few opportunities he had to play. And he's just a really interesting guy who's continued to develop. And I think he will be that number two tight end option this year.
Very good. All right. That is it for this quarter of the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stick around. We're going to be talking hoops with Jeff Brown.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Looking for a great gift for the blue and white fan in your life? Check out 409tailgateclub.com for some great ideas. You can get the tailgate box that includes all their rubs and sauces. Then there's the Bloody Mary gift box, complete with mix, bacon salt, and even pepperoni straws. Go to 409tailgateclub.com and check out their online store. Don't forget to use code KSN on checkout for a discount. That's 409tailgateclub.com and use code KSN.